Okay, we'll bring this work session to order. Our topic tonight for a work session and for a public hearing is a application for a cell tower installment in the area of South 42nd and Jasper Road on behalf of Verizon. So Andy Lindbergh, 30 minutes.
Before Andy jumps in, I got something real quick to bring to your attention. There's a provision in the code that slipped by us. It's sort of like of all the gin joints in all the town and all the world, I get stuck with this code provision. Anyway, what it says is that these WTS facilities that are being proposed anywhere in the city, not the UGB, but the city, that require the planning commission review and approval.
Right.
So it could be, it's not just the one that Andy has tonight, but other ones that fall under the purview of the planning commission. A referral memo has to be sent to the city council so that they can review the proposal and then take it upon themselves through a motion to conduct the hearing instead of the planning commission. This is a result of amendments they did to the WTS standards back in the summer of 2013, and it was a direct result of a real contentious cell tower issue. And the planning, or the city council was frustrated that they had no role in this, that something city council's business and not the planning commission business. So they wanted the code changed to provide them with an opportunity to figuratively reach down and take the matter up to their own review. We've never done this before, and I think that's one of the reasons we overlooked it. So we should have sent this memo to them a couple of weeks ago. And then they would have gotten back to us saying, okay, we'll hear it, or no, let the planning commission hear it. So they're getting that memo tomorrow, and...
So by design, it has to go to them?
No, it only needs to be referred to them.
They get a memo that says, do you want to hear this?
Yeah.
And if so...
100%.
So it's just in there, it's just in there.
It's within their purview, but unfortunately, the section of the code that this appears in doesn't give us any guidance. There's no trigger to suggest, okay, this is the one that should go to the council and not
right.
the planning commission.
They
it just says refer them all and then they'll sort it out.
So that killed the 7 o'clock?
No. What we're going to do, because we've already announced the hearing and because we don't know if the council is going to take this, they could say no, let the planning commission do it. People are coming. So we'll open the public hearing, we'll let them testify, but continue your decision and further testimony until June 16th. And you're meeting on June 16th anyway.
So leave the record open.
The record and the hearing open.
And the hearing open.
Yeah. You won't make any decision tonight on this.
Well, a motion to leave it open and a motion to leave the record and the hearing open.
That'll be the action you take. In the meantime, we're hopeful that the city council informs us, you know, maybe by Friday this week, but hopefully next week. Planning commission can do it.
And the planning commission's decision is appealable anyway to the city council. So, you know, I think that the city council will find that they'll get to hear it if it's necessary anyway, because if someone appeals, it'll come to them. But
and the fact of the matter is that under an appeal, it's ironic, but the issue and the people involved are better served, I think, under an appeal, because they get the initial hearing and they get to talk to the planning commission about their concerns. Planning commission develops this record and then says, okay, it's our opinion based, you know, on our conclusion that, yeah, you can do it. Here are the conditions. Then somebody gets upset, doesn't like that, they get to appeal to the council. The council doesn't get this thing cold. They get the record that you developed.
Sure.
Plus, they get the appellants to itemize what their concerns are. You know, they articulate that in their application for the appeal, so that both the staff and the city council then are addressing something very specifically, not in general. So I think, personally, I think it works out better for them to do it that way. There's just, you know, lots of people look at appeals as adversarial, so there's hard feelings associated with that. There is a $250 fee or something associated.
Well, it's significant for a planning commission decision. It's 2420. 2420.
Okay.
So someone has to be serious.
If it was just a staff decision, it would be
yes.
250.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there's that. So obviously the city council could go, well, in the interest of these people not having to pay that, we're just going to reach down and take it. But this potential shouldn't influence your discussion tonight.
And so we can deliberate tonight.
You could, but we're asking you not to. You can't conclude tonight.
Right, can't conclude.
But you could talk about it.
Sure.
One thing that we might caution you on about going on and on and on about it, like I'm doing, is the record's still open.
Right.
So you're going to hear new stuff,
yeah.
And you might even hear new people.
Yeah.
So you may want to wait, but it's your only agenda item.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Makes sense.
We'll never do this again.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, that's ultimately that's my oversight, I guess, too, because of the applicant was aware of the provision and staff was not, or just glossed over with our review. So, so I guess just kind of as a preview for this evening's cell tower. Essentially, it's referred to as a monopine, which is a imitation tree cell tower. This particular tower is being proposed as both a relocation of the existing facility at International Paper, which you can actually see from Main Street. You can see the water tower, and it's actually on the water tower. So changes that are pending at International Paper will result in that removal. And so there's also a capacity issue with data streaming and, you know, 4G networking, and you know, I'm not sure of all the technical terms, but the proliferation of tablets and wireless devices has led to a capacity and a coverage issue in this area of Springfield. So it's not technically a new facility, it's a relocated facility and an upgraded facility that allow for coverage in mid-Springfield. The proposal from the applicant is something that looks very similar to like a lodgepole pine type of a tree. Staff has looked at the designs that are available from the manufacturer and is actually recommending through the discretionary use a more dense branching design that looks more like a sequoia or a redwood tree, which are in the area planted ornamentals and, you know, are notable for their size. And so in this particular situation, it would be very similar to a large evergreen tree that you'd find, you know, in the community. There's some just in Washburn area as an example. Some of the arguments that staff has heard, just to give you kind of a preview, some people that might be providing testimony this evening have cited the recent controversial cell tower denial in Eugene. Which is different for a variety of reasons. Number one, the zoning was residential. It's in a South Eugene area, which is more sensitive for all types of development in general. It's in the Amazon corridor, and it's also immediately behind some residential development. It's not on commercial zoning as this site is. So that is a Eugene decision that should have no bearing on the Planning Commission's decision this evening. There also is some argument about what about electromagnetic radiation? Is there going to be endangerment to children at the relief nursery or the school? And the FCC has determined, I think at least 20 years ago, that siting of these types of facilities, cell towers specifically, has no link to any health effects or, you know, harmful radiation. It's not the same as high voltage transmission lines or, you know, other things that have specific setbacks from development. So, you know, some of the arguments that may be offered this evening really are not planning related or under the purview of either staff or the city in general to review. These types of facilities are needed in an urban type of setting and really have become part of the fabric of emergency service provision. Many people don't even have landlines anymore. They rely on cell service. So it's a matter of, is this appropriate location? Has the applicant demonstrated that there's a need that needs to be met? And what type of provisions have they made in order to accommodate this facility on a specific site? Zoning is important, buffering, landscaping, and then the design of the tower itself is a consideration. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that's camouflaged. In this case, the applicant is looking to try to integrate it into the neighborhood. The other thing is, from staff's observation, this is a mostly vacant commercial site. It's been zoned and designated commercial for decades. There's an undeveloped piece of Horace Street that extends, sort of bisects the property, and at some point will be developed as an intervening public street from people on the perimeter, as well with future development of buildings and landscaping and parking lots and that sort of thing. This facility will be essentially centralized and internalized for the future development. So notwithstanding that it's an open field and somewhat conspicuous, at some point it's designed and intended to be behind future commercial development, allow for development of frontages on both sides of Horace Street and as well as Jasper Road. When that development occurs, we can't say for sure, but that's the intent, and that was the preferred location, not only to try to find a site that was appropriate for the zoning, but what will allow for future development to occur on the sort of the fringes of the cell tower site. It won't essentially paint somebody into a corner where they don't have a developable remainder of the site after a cell tower goes in. So all of these things are important considerations this evening in looking at the testimony and whether the applicant has adequately met the criteria. It's staff's opinion, and as exemplified in the staff report, that with the exception of the design of the camouflage for the tower, as well as some conditions of the site plan, that it does address satisfactorily the criteria for discretionary use, as well the site plan review, with some conditions attached to provide for access, maintenance, and screening.
Yeah, there were six or seven or so items under the site plan review area.
Yes,
the staff were
correct.
Recommendations.
Yes, yeah. There are some standard conditions of approval. Some of them included, when staff went to visit the site last fall, when there was initial inquiries into the property by the applicant, we did note that there is an existing driveway approach for the vacant shell building that's there. There was at some time in the past gravel driveway surrounding it, but a lot of it's been overgrown. So the applicant would be well served by refreshing that approach for maintenance access and ensuring that there's an appropriate paved apron out onto South 42nd, so there isn't gravel being tracked out onto the road if there'll be service vehicles periodically to the cell tower, should it be constructed.
Andy, I believe about a year ago, the Planning Commission had our first hearing related to utilizing the new code. And at that time, we really were not that aware of the camouflage types and those types of things. Out of that discussion that the Planning Commission had, we ended up with the same type of recommendation that staff are making, that three limb per foot as opposed to something that was much more sparse.
Sure.
So I thought it was interesting, and we, the same conversations ensued around, something that looked like a pine, mm-hmm. as opposed to something that looked more like it should be growing.
Correct. Yeah.
So I just thought that was interesting. Staff's findings.
My observation is that the design that was proposed by the applicant would be appropriate for maybe central or eastern Oregon, where lodgepole ponderosa pines and with sort of a more sparse branching pattern are prevalent. But in this case, you don't see many trees, and it would be conspicuous as being artificial. in this type of environment. The design that was shown on the manufacturer's cut sheets or their product sheet looks very much like trees that you'd see in the area that are California redwood, as an example, and would be similar sized. So hopefully wouldn't be as obvious on the landscape while still providing, you know, the necessary service that would be required of the, you know, Verizon customers. As well, in the applicant's submittal, there is provision for co-location as well for up to two other providers. So that also has the added benefit of not requiring a proliferation of additional wireless facilities in the area.
The applicant, exhaust any efforts to find additional space maybe on the International Paper land where they could rebuild a stronger tower? So I assume that's what the public would be wanting to know. Why can't they find a different spot on the land that stay in the industrial type area?
That is a good question that I don't have the answer to. It wasn't clear, you're right, it wasn't clear in the applicant's submittal as to why there wasn't a preferred rebuilding at that location. My suspicion is, and I would rely on the applicant's submittal to confirm this, is that the infrastructure associated with the International Paper Mill itself, unless the tower is substantially high, which would require, you know, approvals for an overheight structure, and it would also require a discretionary use route potentially to have something high enough to match the existing water tower. Something at the 90-foot level will be, you know, overshadowed by some of the, you know, the cooling towers and the, you know, the plant itself, which could obstruct their kind of cast to the north, I guess. So, you know, the applicant will be, or should be, at staff's suggestion, will be providing information about the locational aspects and the site selection, the process that they used. That might very well be a good question to direct to the applicant, because they have the engineer's reports and all the technical background as to why that location was selected.
Well, that was my specific question about the application. I also, as a new commissioner, I also have a couple of probably basic questions.
Sure, no problem.
And I know I do this every time, but a lot of this conversation is good to have on the record. It's going to, if it's going to be a part of your decision. So, like, that question would need to be in this conversation, would need to be rehashed anyway. So, if there are sort of procedural questions that are more about, that we can kind of answer now, otherwise I'd rather kind of get into dialogue during the hearing, if that's all right.
Sure.
Well, maybe some of these might
okay.
be easily answerable right now. I know that the city has a significant source of funds through utility franchises. Do cell phone towers pay into the utility fund through franchises, even though they are located on private property?
You know, I think it's hard facilities that are in the street, in the public right of way.
Yeah, that pay.
So there's no revenue enhancement for the city for these.
You know,
not unless it's on city-owned property.
Yeah, we own the property.
That's too bad.
Yeah, that would be a question that we would have to look into and get back to you. I know that there's a franchise fee, but I don't know how the cell towers fit within the franchise fee, and that code has changed a lot in the last year.
And since we're going further and further into this, I think it would be a good dialogue to try to see if the council would be interested in getting some revenue. Another question. I noticed in the it said there was no geotechnical report in their application. Are there seismic standards that are expected to be in force for, like, the foundation? Because, I mean, those things are monstrous.
Right. They depending upon the nature of the facility, some of these things, you know, they only need
roots
of a tree. Some of these WTSs. Mm-hmm. This one needs more than that. Their engineer will be required to provide acceptable drawings for shear and load and everything else for that. Mm-hmm. I know we've authorized monopoles before, mm-hmm. and there was no it wasn't a difficult thing for them to submit or for us to review. I honestly don't know if the seismic loading has an effect on this or not. I really don't know.
It'll be reviewed. There'll be a building permit required, so it'll be reviewed to the building permit. So the building official may weigh in on whether they require that.
Okay, those were pretty much mine.
No questions.
Anything else? Not here. Okay. Adjourned until 7 o'clock.
Thanks, gentlemen.